American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Thursday, March 3rd, 2005. This is Newsreel, your source for independent media and news that will give you the edge you need against the corporatical tyranny that is trying to enslave you. If you don't happen to believe the corporatical tyranny is trying to enslave you, you'd better wake up, buddy, because there's a whole lot of stuff going on in the world that you need to know about. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. It's at the bottom there under Newsreel. And you'll know it'll be time to turn the page when you hear me say, feeling a lot better today, all things considered. Well, getting straight into some feedback. Yesterday, I dropped the ball in a big-time way. I gave out this huge tribute and dedication to the war vet who from the Gulf War who sent me in all this stuff. And it turns out, I guess I got his name wrong because the guy's name, who I did state it was, sent me this email. So I don't know the guy's proper name. And in my defense, the reason why this happened is I go very quickly through a bunch of email to put together the show formats. And I guess some lines got crossed somewhere. One of my copy-paste didn't really work properly. And I wound up putting the wrong guy's name on there. No doubt he's probably super pissed that I did that because, I mean, you know, the guy did time and I gave it to somebody else, and so I effectively gave someone else credit. But it was the guy who I gave the credit to that alerted me to my error. I fall down all the time. Sorry about that. So if you could get in touch with me, I'd like to give proper credit where credit is due. Once again, my apologies. My bad. On to sort yourself out. We've got, hi, Sean. Back in August of last year, I received a couple of emails from Al Butnor, a public relations official for the Church of Scientology, in regards to a piece of political artwork I did regarding the cult in February of 2002. He sought to have dialogue with me so as to why I would say such hateful things about their religion. Read, do my part, exposing Scientology as a terrifying organization that it is. After some consideration and asking for advice from a few people I respect, Samarian being one of them, I decided it was best to simply hit the delete and ignore messages, especially after Sim mentioned he'd Googled the guy and found that that Al had been involved in harassment campaigns against a number of Scientology critics. Interesting. In any case, you see that good old Al hasn't quite forgotten about me yet and has set up another email about the art I posted to my Vile webpage. Maybe if I'm lucky, I'll wind up on the Scientology bigots page. I usually think the best course is to just ignore his correspondence and go on with business as usual. I thought this would be a good opportunity to ask for your opinion on how one should react when confronted by cults like Scientology. Any other information a person my situation should bear in mind, especially when dealing with an organization as shady and powerful as COS, would be appreciated as well. Your friend, No Deal. Well, for one thing, No Deal, you got to be real careful here, okay? Because you are, in fact, dealing with a superpower. Now, I feel bad that they went after you and not me, because I'm jealous now that they actually went after you and not me. But that's okay. That's okay. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not really jealous. But to be honest with you, man, you probably want to talk to someone like the EFF, stuff like that. Find out what exactly your rights are, what the kind of rights you have available. Maybe email some people at Xenu, let them know your situation. Start gathering information. Because if this guy's going to go after you, at least you should probably make it a fight. So I would contact, there's all sorts of Scientology survivability pages and people who've lived through it. And if you're currently under attack, I'm sure there's a number of people that have been through the attacks and know what they should and should not do. So that would probably be a really good idea for you to look into something like that. And if you can do that, that would probably be the best thing to do. Beyond that, I don't really know, and I wouldn't want to give out advice on a field like this because I'm not really too sure how to deal with that myself. I mean, that's some pretty intense stuff you got going on there. So definitely you want to take it seriously This isn't something to, you know, just sort of laugh back and ignore. Depending on the type of emails that they send you, if they're talking about court action and stuff like that, maybe you want to get involved with the EFF. Maybe you want to just figure out what your options are. I don't know what your options would be at this time. I've never been involved with something like this, so it's kind of hardcore. But that would be my best bet, is definitely get involved with like Xenu.net and talk to some of the people who've been attacked by Scientology and see what it could be in store or where they could go with that. It's just something you want to look at. Beyond that, definitely I wouldn't get involved in a flame war with them. I'll tell you what you shouldn't do. You shouldn't get in a flame war. You shouldn't be, you know, going... It should be said that if, you know, on one hand you sit back and go, well, should I go out of my way now to... you know, be attacking Scientology. Well, you know, that's a call. If you want to pick your fights, to be sure, I would probably do the best you can to make everything that these people say to you public. I'd probably put up a page and start talking about how COS is attacking you and how you feel attacked and persecuted by all this. Make sure that everyone knows what's going on. Silence is death. So you want to make sure what's happening there. Moving on to the news, no more writing about what you've done. This is kind of a scary law that they're going to try to put in place here. While the literary content might not match that of Gramsci's Prison Diaries or Oscar Wilde's Ballad of Reading Jail, the best-known jail memoirs of recent years have been disgraced by Tories. Now even notoriety is not enough to recommend them. The conservatives are proposing a crackdown on convicts who, like Jonathan Aitken and Jeffrey Archer, hope to publish books about their own experience in prison. And this would also affect guys like Mumia Abu-Jamal and people like that. The party has announced a plan to make it illegal for criminals to profit in any way from writing about their crimes or subsequent jail sentences. Who have they got in mind? Asked Peter Bradley, Labour MP for Wrekin, who complained to the Press Complaints Commission about the books by both former Tory minister and former party chairman. There are possibly two East End hoodlums, but two most well-known books have been well-known Tories. Ah, I see what you're saying. Two of the most well-known books have been by well-known Tories, and yet the Tories seem to think it's okay to try to ban all these books and people making money from it. He was referring, of course, to Lord Archer's Prison Diaries and Mr. Aitken's Pride and Perjury. The initial fee for Lord Archer's book went to charity, but he received royalties after leaving prison. Earnings for Mr. Aitken's book were paid to his creditors. The party's chairman, Liam Fox, recently signaled that Lord Archer might be allowed back into the party, even though he's been in jail and all this good stuff. But yesterday, a Tory press officer insisted there was nothing embarrassing about the fact that the law would affect the disgraced former minister and chairman. It would be exactly the same as well, she said. There are other examples of people who have benefited from doing this. I don't think they're the highest profile people. At present, the Proceeds of Crime Act allows courts to confiscate assets from some who have benefited from criminal conduct. Now, I'm all for if someone does something illegal, like, you know, they're selling drugs and they get themselves a Ferrari. Well, yeah, you know, that Ferrari is ill-gotten gains. You know, I can see it being understandable that they would confiscate the Ferrari. But, you know, or put them in jail. But even still, I mean, when you look at that, I mean, the guy committed a crime. He got this cash. He spent the money that he got from the cash. You know, we wind up getting into this legal kung fu here, which gets really sticky really fast. So that's something you want to think about, like how does all this work, right? And I don't know about you, but do you feel a draft? I feel a draft. I seriously feel a draft coming on, especially with the amount of time and space that is being taken up by, you know, various organizations such as the military, perhaps. I think so. Especially when most of your army is trying to leave the army and not be involved with going back to play in the sandbox anymore. As you will already notice, they've already got the stop-loss program in place where it says that, hey, guess what? You want to leave the army? No, can't do that because we need you to keep killing people and stuff. So you can't leave, which is getting quite near slavery when you think about it. It's like, no, sorry, can't leave the Roman Legion. You have to stick around and, you know, keep fighting because, no one wants to stay in Iraq and do the deed. So, you know, whatever. We'll just keep you there and you've got to keep on going. Well, apparently there's people who seem to think that a draft is on its way. On March 31st, the Selective Service System will report to President Bush that it is ready to implement a draft within 75 days. Now, we have to organize now to stop that draft before it starts. Despite what politicians say, there is a high probability that the Bush administration will attempt to reinstate the draft. The U.S. military is in a quagmire in Iraq, facing national popular uprising against the occupation. Soldiers are dying every day. A report issued in January 2004 by Jeffrey Record, a visiting professor at Air War College, said the Army is near the breaking point, end quote. The Pentagon has been forced to issue repeated stop-loss orders and recall soldiers who had retired or otherwise returned to civilian life. Imagine that. You know, you walk away. That's a hell of a system shock, by the way. Anybody who's ever been involved with the military and has jumped out, you know, that's a hell of a culture shock to go from army life to civvy life and then have to go back into the army. Not really. You know, you already did your stint. You know, the lottery didn't hit while you were in, and now you're out. You can't really just call these people back. That's bullshit. Out of 10 Army divisions, part or all of 9 of them are either being deployed in Iraq or Afghanistan. 20 out of 33 regular combat brigades are on active duty in Iraq, Afghanistan, South Korea, and the Balkans. That's 63% of the Army's combat strength. This means the Army is extremely overextended. The Bush administration has been trying to fill that gap with reserve and National Guard troops, but this is a temporary fix at best. And furthermore, a bunch of half-assed boys, you know, who run around on the weekends with machine guns really shouldn't be dropped into a meat grinder like Iraq. Just a personal guideline. Not to slight on the Army reserves, but come on, guys. You guys got to get your training up before you go play over there, because those people are fucking serious. The head of the Army Reserves has recently written a memo saying that the readiness of its forces has been drastically reduced through over-deployment and is degenerating into a broken force. These are all very concerning issues. Meanwhile, official U.S. foreign policy is now the doctrine of preemptive war and regime change, where a leader runs afoul of U.S. corporate interests. An invasion of Iran, Syria, Korea, or Cuba, all of whom are on Washington and Wall Street's list of targets, would require tens or hundreds of thousands of new soldiers. Very, very scary. Enlistment rates are not even able to maintain current force levels, much less provide troops for new invasions and occupations. Now, this is just scary. What is this? Is America declaring war on the fucking world? All four services missed their enlistment quotas last year, and enlistments in the Reserve, National Guard, and regular military are at 30-year low. Many current members of the armed forces plan to get out as soon as their current enlistment ends. According to a poll conducted by the military newspaper Stars and Stripes, 49%, and this is according to Stars and Stripes, 49% of soldiers stationed in Iraq do not plan to re-enlist. That's some heavy fucking numbers. The president has given the Select Service System a set of readiness goals to be implemented by March 31st, 2005. Now, why would he do that? Why would he do that? Why would he say, hey, let's get the draft fired up? Let's get the draft ready to go. Unless he was planning to institute that fucking thing. As part of these performance goals, the system must be ready to fully operate, must be able to be fully operational within 75 days. This means we can look for the draft to be operational as early as June 15th, 2005. Guys, we need to mobilize against this. I don't want kids. Okay, now, the draft is a bad idea. The draft has always been a bad idea. You cannot force people to fight. Soldiers join armies. This is what soldiers do. You cannot make a soldier. I don't believe you can make a soldier, to be honest with you. I think soldiers are born. I think there are people who are born soldiers. And the people who are true soldiers will agree with me on this one, okay? I would think of myself as a soldier. Sometimes I get myself in shit, as all good soldiers do, but I think of myself as a soldier. But this war that you're involved with is not a righteous war. This is not a good cause. This is not the defense of freedom. This is defense of core political interests, and it's some scary, scary shit. So let's all just kind of see what we can do to stop the draft, huh? To stop some kids who don't want to be there from going over to some foreign country and getting their ass blown off by a bunch of people who don't want us there in the first place. Get these guys out. Now, another news story is no swearing anywhere. That's right, we're going to get really, really fundamental here. Let's put the fun back in fundamentalism. Senate Commerce Committee Chairman Ted Stevens said on Tuesday that he would push applying broadcast decency standards to cable television and subscription satellite TV and radio. That's all decency standard. Cable is a much greater violator in the indecency area. Okay, Pump, what do you think indecency is? Let's get your definition, huh? The Alaskan Republican told the National Association of Broadcasters, which represents the most local television and radio affiliates. Now, I don't think the people in the state of Alaska back this, okay, because, you know, I know some Alaskans, they're pretty laid-back types. I think we have the same power to deal with cable as over-the-air broadcasters. No. There has to be some standard of decency. And why is that exactly? He said, but he also cautioned that no one wants censorship. Well, dude, you're just talking about censorship. What is it? You want decency with no censorship? Well, that's nice. Why don't you just call out the thought police right now? Stevens told reporters afterward that he would push legislation to apply the standards to cable TV and satellite radio and television. Goodbye, Howard Stern. And it could be become part of a pending bill to boost fines on broadcasters who violate indecency restrictions or an effort to overhaul U.S. communication laws. Now, you've got to bear in mind that what else is this going to affect? Does that mean that the internet and internet broadcasting is the last bastion of free speech? Is this really freedom's last stand over the internet? Am I it? Am I really, you know, if this law gets put through, realistically, who else is going to say it like they mean it? Who else is going to call it how he sees it? How's it going to happen? Realistically, I don't want to be the last one, all right? I'm straight up with you. I am some dude with no post-secondary, but, you know, well, you know, to say I got no post-secondary, there might be a bit of a disclaimer there. That may not be totally accurate because, after all, I've been doing this for 6 years. So, you know, maybe, what's that? What is that? Is that a master's or is that a bachelor's or what is that? I mean, I got 6 years experience screaming into microphones, so maybe that gives me some sort of, you know, qualifications, but still. I mean, I don't want to be the last one out there. We're losing all our good reporters. Everyone's getting muzzled. They're getting beat to shit by fines and lawsuits and everything else. And now even the cults are using the big guns for the lawyers. Realistically, how rogue do you have to get in order to get the truth to people? I ask you. If Stevens is successful, he could pose news problems for raunchy radio host Howard Stern. Now, not only Howard Stern, but anyone else who, you know, has a fucking point, who has said that he is forced to leave broadcast radio for satellite radio to avoid decency limits and Federal Communications Commission fines. So far, the restrictions have not applied to subscription services offered by companies like cable TV operators, Comcast Corp., Time Warner Incorporated, or XM Satellite Radio Holdings Incorporated, and Cirrus Satellite Radio, who recently signed Stern. Now, I hope that because they're going up against some big, like Comcast, Time Warner, if they're going up against Comcast, Time Warner, I don't think they'll have much of a chance because those people got so much pull that if they try instituting guidelines that will affect the bottom line, and you can bet that the people who tune into Howard Stern do not want him to be limited. They want the guy to be more outrageous. They want him to be, like, you know, showing blowjobs on TV for legit reasons. This is what, you know, this is what they want. This is what they're paying for. So there's at least that the money is going to side with these quote-unquote indecent, ideas. So there's that to our favor. Last year, the Senate committee narrowly defeated, I didn't know about this, but last year, apparently, the Senate Commerce Committee narrowly defeated an amendment to a bill boosting fines for indecency that would have extended such limits to cable and satellite services. Now, I'm here to tell you, if I get nailed with, like, a really massive fine, I don't know how I'm going to be able to deal with that. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to look after that particular, kettle of fish. This is not something that I'm going to be able to handle off the top. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do. I could put it on the air and say, hey, you know what? I got nailed for a $200,000 fine. But be real, I don't think the rant listeners are going to be able to cough up that kind of dough. So what happens to me? Oh, I get thrown in a deep, dark cell. Thanks for opening your mouth, you stupid bastard. You know. And is that the message they're trying to send here? You better keep your mouth shut or else you'll wind up suicided somewhere. Scary shit, man. Scary shit. And now, they're trying to make sure that yet another means of communication and getting information out to people, albeit, you know, something a little bit different from the norm, albeit that this is not something that generally is considered media, but it is, they're trying to make a voice, well, in Costa Rica anyway, they're already talking about making voice over IP illegal. Now, you can bet that if they get success there, the phone company is going to push for that in this country as well. The growing surge in international voice over IP calls has caused the state-owned telecommunications monopoly in Costa Rica to propose legislation that could criminalize the use of internet telephone calls. The Instituto Costa Ricense de Electricidad, whatever the hell it is, ICE, great name, said that it views voice over IP as value-added telecom service and, as such, should be regulated. At its most draconian, the proposal would make internet telephoning a crime. One Costa Rican official of an agency seeking to promote Central America's country's software industry last week said that ICE's proposal would be disastrous to the country's efforts to grow its software development and outsourcing business. No shit. The official, who asked that his name not be used because he's scared shitless that the Costa Rican authorities are going to send a death squad to his house to, you know, shoot him, gut him, hang him up by his feet, and hang him out like some sort of weird voodoo cult, noted that Costa Rica has been rapidly growing its outsourcing business and low-cost telephone service is crucial to the growth of that business. So if they make make voice over IP illegal there, it's going to essentially fuck that entire industry. not cool. These guys got to have some foresight, but of course, you know, they don't care about that. They just want the money now. ICE is a telecommunications monopoly. While some have criticized it for stifling competition, it has established efficient telephone services throughout Costa Rica. Well, it made the trains run on time. Good for them. Which is rapidly emerging from third world status. Again, good. We want to get these guys. Let's get rid of the third world. Do you want to declare war on something? Let's ditch the third world. Let's make everyone a first world nation. I'd be all behind that. Market research studies have noted that some 78% of software developers in Central America and Caribbean regions are located in Costa Rica. So that's 78%. Of the internet, you know, market, essentially, then is then located in Costa Rica. And these people need to talk. They need to get information. And the way to keep the cost down is voice over IP. This is just technology used to help people. And if you make it illegal, what is that other than intelligence and technology suppression? There's no other name for that. The ICE proposal was first reported in La Nación, the country's national newspaper, which noted that some 20% of the country's international calls are made using voice over IP technology. The use of Skype technologies, peer-to-peer web calling, is widespread, and other VO's voice over IP services include voice over IP Pacesetter, Vonage, and also make receive calls to the Central American nation. Claudio Bermudez, ICE deputy director, is quoted by La Nación as follows, quote, voice over IP, which is characterized as a telephone service, is a telecommunications carrier and substitute telephone service, and as such uses public telecommunications infrastructure, end quote. The question of voice over IP, whether it should be regulated as a telephone service or left unregulated as a data service, has been hotly debated for several months in the U.S. Most government agencies and courts have ruled that internet phoning is a data service that should not be regulated. Now, I mean, in one way, I'm really kind of glad that Canada stood up to the Americans and said, you know what, we're not going to stand for your missile defense system. I don't care if you're not going to talk to us, because now, you know, Bush isn't returning phone calls from, you know, the Canadian Prime Minister. He's all pissed off at us because we didn't want to get in on his missile defense shield. Missile defense. Does that even really work? And there's a few articles now that is going out there saying, you know, the missiles work. Oh, yeah, the defense shield that we're talking about, yeah, it actually works. Yeah, it works. Don't worry. It works. Well, there was a lot of reports that said it didn't work. And furthermore, you know what? We don't want to do that. We don't have the enemies the United States does. And you want to know why Canada doesn't have the enemies the United States does? Ask yourself that question. Why doesn't Canada want to be involved? Why don't Canadian citizens want a missile defense shield? Well, the reason why is quite obvious, isn't it? We don't feel that there's as much of a threat. And furthermore, where are all these terrorist attacks that the American government is trying to scare the shit out of the American people with? Oh, yeah, there's the 9/11 attacks, and even those are dubious at best. You know, you're looking at the Pentagon attacks, and people are like, no one believes a fucking plane hit the Pentagon. Do some research. Check some of that shit. Nobody even buys the attacks anymore. But no one's willing to talk about it. Everybody knows there's something fucked up there. Everybody knows there's something wrong, but no one's willing to talk about it. Where's all these gas attacks? Where's all the terrorist threats? People are getting fear burnout all over the United States. They can't handle being afraid like this and living in fear. All their rights are disappearing. They're signing up for chips and fucking ID and national ID cards. And eventually, this is going to kick back. You're not going to be able to ramrod all this through. They're trying to do too much, too fast. And it's going to kick them in the teeth. And you know what? I hope that Canada can stay free so that all the decent Americans have a place to go. And you know what? I'll swing open the borders for you guys. If it was up to me, you bet. Any Americans want to come up here to settle in Canada? Not a problem. We'll welcome you with open arms, and we'll see if we can even adapt. I'd be all about adapting. You know, I think the American Constitution is one of the greatest documents ever written. And I'm a Canadian. Okay, America was founded upon ideals. I happen to agree with those ideals. The people who wrote that document had a fucking clue. It's not outdated. These people are very, very bright. Okay, I would be all about, you know, how about this? How about you want to take over a country? Sure. How about all the freedom-loving Americans immigrate to Canada, will vote me into power, and I'll bring in the U.S. Constitution as the Canadian Constitution. I won't change a fucking word. How's that? That's my election platform. That's what I'm running on. What do you say? Yeah. Pack up the car now. Apparently, Donnie, good old Donald Rumsfeld as well, in this news story here, is getting sued. Why? Seeking to link the U.S. military command to the abuse of prisoners in Iraq and Afghanistan, the ACLU and human rights organizations sued Defense Secretary Donald H. Rumsfeld and three Army commanders on Tuesday on behalf of former detainees, charging the military authorized illegal interrogation techniques. Welcome to the land of war crimes. The federal lawsuit charges that Rumsfeld ordered abandonment of our nation's inviolable and deep-rooted prohibition against torture and other cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment, end quote, of prisoners. The legal action stems from some of the well-documented instances of prisoner mistreatment at the Abu Ghraib prison outside of Baghdad. It also includes lesser-known examples of abuse at other sites in Iraq and Afghanistan. The lawsuit was filed on behalf of four Iraqis and four Afghanis by the American Civil Liberties Union and group of Human Rights First, Human Rights First. So, it's quite apparent now that even within their own country, America is seeing that Americans are quite obviously not behind their government's policy. For those of you internationally who are listening to this broadcast, not just Canada and America, sometimes I forget that this broadcast is heard all over the fucking world. Okay, let me just clear up a few details here. Once again, I'm broadcasting from Canada. That would make me a Canadian. Well, it doesn't make me a Canadian, but I'll tell you straight up. I am a Canadian. Okay? I am not an American. Sure. I've watched a lot of American television. I happen to know a little bit of American history. Not much. But I'd say I probably know more American history. Well, I don't know. Maybe I know more Canadian history. But anyway, be that as it may, I am not an American. I like Americans. As a matter of fact, I was surprised when I went through America. Anyone who's from a foreign country, if you go through America, I think you'd be surprised with how fucking nice Americans are. I mean, the world is painting a picture of Americans as being these, you know, totally gun-happy, psycho, drug-using motherfuckers. You know, such is not the case. I was in New York City, man. New York City, the center. You know, everybody thinks of New York City as this total badass zone. You know, I live in New York. I may as well have been in Vietnam. But realistically, when I'm in New York, they were the nicest fucking people I've ever met. They were so nice. Everyone was helping me. All I had to do was say the name of the station I was trying to get to on the subway, and I had people fighting over who wanted to help me. They're nice people in America. The government is all fucked up like February. They're a regular soup sandwich. So don't go judging America based upon the government's rules. They got some problems right now. Okay, they got this psycho in the White House, and he's fucking shit up. And he's got secret police running around. Believe me, there's a whole lot of Americans that are wigging the fuck out about this. Okay, so don't, please, world, the rest of the world, take it from a Canadian who's right next door, and I got a bird's eye view on this shit. Okay, do not judge America by their government, because they are good people in that country. Okay, and they are gentle, loving people who just want peace. The vast, screaming majority of them. Yeah, sure, you got your southern, whatever, white supremacist groups. But, you want to factor them with the Islamic psychos who all want to, you know, declare war on whatever for whatever reason and kill people for Iraq or whatever the fuck their gig is. Okay? We cannot allow the rest of the world to believe what, you know, the world press is saying about Americans. Okay? Because they're not evil people. So, you know what? Yeah, I'm not so crazy about what the government's doing in America right now, but I'm a huge fan of Americans. Now, the groups that are suing face considerable obstacles to success under the Alien Torture Claims Act. Among them established that Rumsfeld and others are not protected by official immunity, and that the former prisoners have grounds to sue in U.S. courts. So there's some legalese that stops them from getting jumped on. The lawsuit is not frivolous. This is a quote. The lawsuit is not frivolous, but is unlikely to prove successful in the long run, said Jonathan Turley, an expert in international law at George Washington University Law School. Well, no shit. The Supreme Court has been extremely hostile towards the application of U.S. laws outside of its borders. Nevertheless, if federal courts allow it to proceed, the suit could bring further attention to the abuse of prisoners at the hands of U.S. soldiers and force the Pentagon to disclose additional details from its own investigation of the abuse. Now, personally, I think that having people who, like, if the Pentagon is charged with torture and abuse, why would you have the Pentagon investigate allegations of torture and abuse? Shouldn't there be a third party involved there? But of course there won't be, because it's all done by the Pentagon, and you're not going to get anybody in the Pentagon because, you know, they're super secret and they have cameras watching cameras and they have the most elaborate surveillance system and security in the world, even though there's not one decent shot of a plane hitting the side of the fucking building. You know, 60-ton dry weight aircraft slamming into a building. No footage, no photos, nothing. one shitty side mount security camera shows a bunch of smoke. That's all we got. And a few reports from the day of guys who couldn't look more like feds that they tried said, yeah, that was Flight 71 coming in. You know? Bullshit. There's something rotten in the Pentagon, man. There's something rotten going on. America needs to wake up and fix this shit before the rest of the world, you know, too much damage is done. Are they ever going to trust us again? Realistically. I mean, Germany is still paying for the Nazi shit they pulled. You know? Is that the page we want to take from it? Do we want to, you know, be the new Nazis of the world? Because that's what's happening. We're becoming the new Nazis. Germany, you know, they wore that shit for like, well, they're still wearing it. That's a shame. A shame on their nation. And German people are great people. Don't get me wrong. They're great, great people. Clever. Clever. Smart. Industrious. Engineering people. They're wonderful people. And they make bitchin' beer. They make really good beer. But, you know, they got fucked over. They got fucked over by nationalism. They got fucked over by propaganda. They got fucked over by their government. And what happened to the German people during Nazi Germany is exactly what's happening to the American people right now. So my plea to the American people is, you know what, guys, wake up and, you know, start fighting against it. And my plea to the rest of the world is, please don't judge America by what its government is doing. Please don't. Because it's even questionable whether or not this government was elected fairly. And I don't think it was. Now, on to some little bit more from the ground up. You know, everyone's talking about video surveillance. Video surveillance. Video surveillance is everywhere. Well, it's good for the goose, it's good for the fucking gander. But apparently, video's not good if it, you know, can be used against the government. You wouldn't want that. The Board of Education may toughen its policy in the use of wireless telephones in schools. Good luck trying to enforce that shit. After a videotape showing a Brick Township high school teacher screaming at a student to show respect for the national anthem and then pulling the chair out from underneath one student who refused to stand was posted on several independent websites. And you want to ask yourself, why was that posted? Because they know that this is outrageous behavior. The tape was made by a student, a brave student, by the way, in Stuart Mantle's class and shows Mantle, this Stuart Mantle guy, who's obviously a fucking psycho, screaming at his students about standing quietly while the Star Spangled Banner is played. When a student identified on the web only as Jay refused to stand, the video shows Mantle yanking the chair out from under them. Dude, it's freedom! If you don't, maybe the kid is a little bit pissed off with what America's doing and he wants to show his protest by sitting. How terrorist is that? He's sitting down. Although state statute does not specifically address whether a student must stand during the national anthem, Ron Rice, a spokesman for the State Department of Education, said there have been numerous court rulings stating that student cannot be punished for refusing to stand against the Pledge of Allegiance while the Pledge of Allegiance is recited. Rice said those same rules apply to the anthem. On the video, Mantle tells the class to stand and keep their mouths shut. At one point, whistling can be heard, to which Mantle screams for the students to stop. He also told students to stop whispering. And then, while the anthem is playing, Mantle approached Jay, who's sitting, and told him to stand. When Jay told Mantle he did not have to stand, Mantle pulled the chair out from under him. "Are you serious?" Jay asked. I am damn well serious," Mantle replied. "Yeah, you're serious, Mantle. Your name should be fucking Mental, and you're completely wacko." It's a song. Let's leave symbols for the symbol-minded, okay? Come on, man. Let's ditch all this bullshit and head into like a brave new world. I'm all for the future. I'm looking forward to the future. You know, technology has never been as high as it is now. Let's not fuck it up. We're on the verge. We are on the absolute verge. Within the next 20 years, we could have immortality. We could. This is feasible shit. Check the scientific documents, man. We are right on the fucking edge. And then we can either get it, you know, we can keep it together just a little bit longer so that we can start getting people to live long. If you live long enough, you don't have to die. That's a lot of theories are going that way. Nanotech is right around the corner. Check with the Foresight Institute. Check with all these institutes. We just got to make it another 20, maybe 40 years tops and stopping America from tearing itself apart. You've got old school religious mentality, us and them mentality, fighting against global freedom. Global freedom, not global enslavement. You know, there's a difference. Everyone can just get fucking cool if we just all talk to each other. If we remain open and honest with each other rather than keep on sticking guns in everybody's fucking mouth. Just a thought. And of course, this shouldn't even be an issue. And there's been a lot of reports on this in the papers and stuff about the Ten Commandments and the ban on the Ten Commandments. Supreme Court Justice Anton Scalia on Wednesday challenged people seeking to ban the displays of the Ten Commandments on government property, noting legislative proclamations invoking God's name are permissible. Well, that should be changed too. I don't see why one is good and the other is bad. Well, that's a very valid point. Let's get rid of invoking God's name during the proclamations as well. Scalia said from the bench as a high court waded through oral arguments embracing the legal thicket of church versus state issues. Okay, church, state. Let's separate them. If you want to go to a country run by a religious law, go try Morocco, okay? They're not really too happy over there. In the case surrounding the Ten Commandments monument outside Texas Capitol, the critical question for the justices was whether the structure amounts to an unconstitutional government endorsement of religion. Well, fucking obviously it does. Erwin Chemerinsky, a lawyer representing a man who seeks its removal, told the justices that the display is a religious symbol. Yeah, called the Ten Commandments. The prominence of the display on the Capitol grounds and the fact that so many of the commandments deal with God does promote religion. Yeah, it says God right on the fucking Ten Commandments there. Including having no God other than him. If that doesn't promote Christianity, I don't know what does. In the high court's first confrontation with the Ten Commandments issue in a quarter century, a case from Kentucky was also being argued. Lawyerly invocations of legal theories were heard in an ornate courtroom that, among other things, is in sight of a wall carving of Moses holding the tablets bearing the commandments. Monuments carrying the Ten Commandments are common in town squares, courthouses, and other government-owned lands around the country. His lawyer challenging these displays argue that they violate First Amendment ban on any law respecting an establishment of religion, or simply represents a secular tribute to America's legal heritage. Well, you know, that's a lot of legalese, but, you know, they talk about Moses walking down the mountain. But what did he do when he got to the bottom of the mountain? Well, he smashed the Ten Commandments, didn't he? He got to the bottom, saw the Jews were doing stuff he didn't like. So what did he do? He hucks the Ten Commandments down, busts the shit out of them. That's what wound up going in the Ark of the Covenant, which, incidentally, you know, they can't seem to locate. It's located, apparently, they got a spot where they think it is in Ethiopia, where there's one dude with an AK-47 who says, nope, can't see the Ten Commandments. Me and my AK-47 say you cannot see the Ark of the Covenant and the Ten Commandments. You know, if ever there was something I think that should have a snatch and grab done and a dude to get tasered, I'd say buddy with the AK needs to get tasered. We're going to take a look at the Ark of the Covenant and see what's going on with this Ten Commandments item going on there. Or maybe we're afraid of the truth. Maybe that's the other side of it. But you can't have religious, you know, government in place. You can't. Religious government is bad, okay? It goes against science. Science and religion, science is what's going to save us, guys. Religion doesn't save shit. If religion was going to save anybody, they would have saved those guys in Southeast Asia. That big tsunami that came in and fucking wasted like 150,000 people. Okay, that particular region of the world, I defy you. I defy you to show me a more spiritual people than the people in that section of the world. Go ahead. What are you going to say, the Tibetans? I mean, up until prior to 1950, one quarter of the Tibetan population was involved only in spiritual practice. One quarter totally devoted to spiritual pursuits. That was their job. Okay, where's Tibet now? Oh, fully occupied. Thanks for coming out. Mind you, the Dalai Lama rule wasn't so shit hot under the Dalai Lama either. Women were considered to be, the term woman in their language meant born cursed. They weren't allowed to look up past men's knees under Lamaist control. So it's not like, you know, the Dalai Lama is such an amazingly great guy. As he mows down on meat, as he's often to do, when the rest of his culture says that, no, we're all vegetarian, except for the Dalai Lama, he's allowed to eat meat, because he's a god. And furthermore, just to keep going on my tirade about Tibet, you know that whole thing about how they're all hardcore into reincarnation? One of the reasons why that was so big is because not only, since reincarnation is there, your debt becomes reincarnated. Bet you didn't know that. So, like, let's say they claim that, Ned over here, 150 years ago, borrowed $1,000 and Ned never paid it back because no one makes shit for money in Tibet. And you're the reincarnation of Ned, so now you owe this money. And, of course, through the brainwashing of religion, everyone just goes, oh, well, I guess that makes sense because I am Ned and we're all reincarnated and this is all cool. Blah, 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 blah. So it works to the government's control. Follow the money. Follow the money. Follow the ruling class. Why are they big fans of reincarnation over there in Tibet? Because it works to their advantage to keep people in enslavement. okay? We have to educate the world. We have to hook these people in, teach them to read, so that these individuals can, for the first time in their lives, maybe self-actualize and realize what the hell is really going on. I really think we should ditch all religion. You know, not spiritualism. Let's just get rid of the dogma. Let's get rid of all the organizations. The Pope's a nice guy, okay? You know what? John Paul got a lot of time for him. But let's cut the shit, man. They got all the stuff locked up in the basement of the Vatican. They got books down there, the Book of Thomas. They got all these scrolls that they're not letting anyone see. And the Vatican doesn't have the right to own that shit. That's the world's items, dude. You can't just lock it in a cell, get the Vatican guard to protect that. If it's the truth, if there is a God, okay, and that's all the way it is, and which, of course, you know, all the religions believe, then you've got nothing to fear from science, because science at its base core level is the pursuit of truth. So if you're so fucking sure that your God exists and that everything is going forward, why not just embrace science for all that it is so that it can prove the existence of your God you're so sure is there? And if there is no God there and we prove that, then what the fuck are you worried about? Okay, come on. Get with the program. I can't understand what the fuck is wrong with these people. Religion is a weakness. It is a serious weakness that can be used against you. It can be used to control you. Now, that's hardcore heresy right there. You bet. And 150 years ago, well, maybe not 150 years ago, but, you know, only a few short hundred years ago, yours truly would be tied to a stake in town square and they'd be all roasting marshmallows while my sorry ass bakes. Now, I'm here to tell you, I get fucking torqued when I see this shit going on where people are freaking out over religious issues regarding Ten Commandments when we have children dying in a war that they shouldn't be involved in. Yet, you know, we got all this distraction media talking about, you know, the rights of God and nationalism and all this bullshit. Yeah, okay, you know what? Let's stop people from dying first and we'll worry about the fucking details regarding, you know, who's holy and what's the right kind of blood to smear on my fucking door to keep the evil spirits away. Just a thought. And, of course, now, finally, you know, the drug companies are putting some new labels on their you know, toxic substances they cram into our brains to keep us nice and sedated. Black box labels warning that antidepressants can cause suicidal behavior in children should be on the drugs most widely prescribed to kids by mid-March, 5 months after a Food Drug Administration ordered them, according to the FDA documents. 5 months. It took 5 months for you to change fucking labels. It is unfortunate that it's taken this long. Unfortunate, Jesus. 5 months? You guys have gone from inception to market in 5 months, and you mean to tell me you can't change some fucking labels? Says Joel Gurin, Executive Vice President of Consumers Union, a consumer advocacy group. It was really important for parents to have this information. Getting it out quickly was important for transparency and trust. Changing the labels takes time, FDA spokesperson Susan Cruzen said. Yeah, absolutely. Wait. No, nobody buys that because the labels are all based on fucking templates. It's data, dude. You can beam that to every single pharmacy in under an hour. The agency sent letters telling the 14 companies that make antidepressants to add boxes to produce medication guides about proven risks and benefits. Proven risks and benefits. The guides will be given to everyone picking up antidepressant prescriptions. The companies then had to submit applications for the label changes. The FDA approved the changes and sent a 30-day deadline for action. 30 days. Approval letters went out mid-February to make the makers of Prozac, Zoloft, and Selextra, Cruzen said. In mid-January, the letters went to GlaxoSmithKline, makers of Paxil and Wellbutrin. There's a scary name, Wellbutrin. These five antidepressants are the most widely prescribed to children, according to IMS Health, which tracks prescription drugs. Now, I'm telling you something here. I don't think kids should do any drugs. I don't think kids should smoke weed, okay, because it interferes. It's like taking the day off. It has a problem formulating memories. You don't believe me? Smoke a joint, try to read a book, okay? It's not going to fucking work. This is a basic experiment any human being could do. Now, if that's the case with marijuana, which is a relatively mild compared to these other fucking drugs, okay, what's that going to do to our education system? Are we going to medicate our youth into stupidity, therefore making them more effective drones? Is that the plan here? Jesus Christ, guys. You know, quite obviously, there's something going on here. There's quite obviously some ulterior motive. I mean, why are the drug companies, they know this. I mean, we've got state-of-the-art people running these drug companies. They know what the fuck's going on. So who are these people answering to? You know, who are they working hand in hand with? You know, the religious right, instead of going after all these music makers and video games, maybe they should pick on somebody like the drug companies who are taking their children and doping them up. I mean, I'm sure there's all kinds of biblical passages and Quranic passages, and maybe there's something in the Talmud and everything else regarding, you know, putting toxins in your body. What about the Mormons? You know, the Mormons have a big thing against caffeine, right? Anything that affects your mental state. Where are the Mormons on all this, considering, you know, most of the CIA, NSA, and all the government agencies are, there's a huge, massive percentage of these organizations that are Mormon. Yeah, everybody's quiet. Nobody's saying shit. Why is that? Why isn't there more outrage? What happened to Say No to Drugs? What happened to Nancy Reagan's, you know, big war on drugs? Now it's war on illegal drugs? Now it's a war on natural drugs? Is that how this fucking works? Well, as to add to the Big Brother Nation, I don't know if you knew this. I didn't know this, so it's wound up, found its way to the news, of course. Is that you're monitored when you're on hold. You know when you phone these companies and you get on hold and there's the music and the do-do-do-do-do. Well, you're being monitored. They can hear what's going on. It's the opening line that so many conversations these days. This call may be monitored for quality assurance purposes. Shit, man. I think I'm going to answer my phone like that from now on. Ring, ring, click. This call may be monitored for quality assurance purposes. Sean Kennedy here. Hello. The tape message is so common that many callers might assume no one is ever listening, let alone taking notes, but they would be wrong. Monitoring is intended to track the performance of call centers, but the professional snoops are inadvertently monitoring callers too. Most callers do not realize that they may even be being taped while they're on hold. It is at these times that monitoring hear husbands arguing with their wives, mothers yelling at their children, dog owners throwing fits at disobedient pets, all when they think no one is listening. Most times, the only way a customer can avoid being recorded is to hang up. You could have a show on Broadway just playing the calls, said Mike Schreeder, president of J-Lodge, a call monitoring service based in Hamilton, New Jersey. Now, I bet you there's some people at these call centers who listen to this fucking show, because I'd love to hear about that. Call monitors eavesdrop on millions of exchanges a year, and listening to the mumblings and rants of people on hold comes with the job. Overall, about 2% of the hundreds of millions of calls made to call centers are monitored by a company's own manager, or increasingly by third-party monitoring companies, which have come to the scene in the last couple of years. So, you know, now it's not even monitored by the company, now it's monitored by a third-party company, and you can bank that third-party company is going to be seeking more sources for revenue, which means databases, which means they sell the information. And more cyberpunk shit coming up here. I don't know if this is just spin, but something to look at. High-tech tigers and cyber bangers. Sal Rajaz was working on his computer science degree when he created brownpride.com. You know, celebrating Latino culture. You know, I don't care if you're white, red, brown, green, yellow, whatever. We're all humans. Can we just get past the skin color thing? You know, great, you got a culture, I got a culture, we all got fucking culture, but that culture is not going to save our ass. We have to look to the future here, okay? So let's just stop hanging on to whatever the fuck it is we're hanging on to that makes us feel like we're better than everyone else, and let's just start, you know, trying to work towards a common good. His site quickly evolved into a popular forum for urban expression, showcasing mural art, music, and fashion. But it also became a target for high-tech taggers and cyber bangers, according to this article. As authorities crack down on gang activity on the streets, self-proclaimed gangsters are going online, turning portions of websites, such as brownpride.com, into virtual turfs where rivals exchange threats and throw up their numbers and neighborhood names under the anonymity of the internet, which, by the way, its anonymity is rapidly decreasing. You can create something good, but people twist it, said Rojas, 32, whose site's message board has been overrun by suspected Nortinos and Serenos. Well, isn't that the fucking truth? Yeah, you can create something good, Rojas. Believe you me, I know what that's like. And people will twist it. People will take no matter what you say, and they'll rip it apart and play spin games, and they'll fuck with you on it. So you know what? I give props to this guy. But it's a shame that he's going to be like getting locked in like this. Law enforcement officials across the country have noticed the surge in suspected gang members using the internet to glorify the lifestyle and, in some cases, recruit. Just as some gangsters tag buildings with spray paint, these online taggers leave their mark in cyberspace. But given the anonymous nature of the web, authorities admit it is nearly impossible to gauge whether a posting, blog, or instant message comes from an actual gang members or wannabes. So we don't know. And finally, we've got a story about Brooklyn's Abu Ghraib. Did you know about this? Defense Attorney are calling it Brooklyn's Abu Ghraib. On the ninth floor of Federal Metropolitan Detention Center in Sunset Park in New York, terrorism suspects swept off the streets after September 11th's attack were repeatedly stripped naked and were frequently physically abused, the Justice Department Inspector General has found. The detainees, none of whom were ultimately charged with anything related to terrorism, in sworn affidavits and interviews with the Justice Department officials that correction officers humiliated them by making fun of them and sometimes painfully squeezing their genitals, depriving them of regular sleep for weeks or months, shackled their hands and feet before smashing them face first into concrete walls within sight of the Statue of Liberty, forced them in winter to stand outdoors at dawn while dressed in light cotton prison garb and no shoes, sometimes for hours. In December, they left me outside for more than 4 hours wearing only a jumpsuit and a light prison coat, Ahmed Kaffa, an Egyptian, told the Daily News. I asked them to let me inside. They were laughing and pointing at me. When I finally got back inside, I felt like I had frostbite. Okay, so we suffered a bit. You know, some people would say, well, you know, it's not that bad. But the dude wasn't charged. He didn't do anything. His crime was being fucking Egyptian. Okay, if he'd been charged, if he was actually involved in terrorism, you know, oh well. But unfortunately, the dude hadn't done shit. He's just, you know, some guy who happened to be born in Egypt. The Justice Department's Inspector General has substantiated some of the prisoners' allegations, substantiated some of them, and some incidents were captured on videotape, but the Justice Department has declined to prosecute any federal correction officer at MDC. I was informed that the videos amounted to nothing more than shoving, but no serious injuries, said one Justice Department official who would speak only on condition he not be identified. Well, come on, man, step up. You know, I'm willing to go on the air and give my fucking name and shout about what you're doing, but you're not, you cowardly motherfucker. But Inspector General Glenn Fine, whose staff reviewed the 380 MDC tapes reported in 2003, these tapes substantiated many of the detainees' allegations. Furthermore, the officers were not just a few bad apples, but a significant percentage of those who had regular contacts with the prisoners. The paper, like... This is happening in America. You know, at what point do you stand up and say, whoa, enough is enough? I would say that point is right about now. Your daily hack today is how not to get sued by the RIAA and friends. The Recording Industry of America, RIAA, announced on June 25th, 2003, they will begin suing users of peer-to-peer file-sharing systems within the next few weeks. According to the announcement, the RIAA will be targeting users who upload substantial amounts of copyrighted music. This is an older article, but it's from the EFF, I believe. I don't have the actual site here. It's on my live journal, but this is how to avoid that. Also, you can fight them. I don't think they've ever actually taken anyone to court as of yet, because I heard that at DEF CON when we were down there last year. So here's a little bit more information on how to avoid getting sued by the RIAA. Just little things you can do. Information is power. And that's all I have for you today, but don't worry, I'll be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast brought to you by my voice and the generous donations of those willing to fight in this time of tribulations. Those would be Anonymous, Topek, Jesse, The Grey Ghost, Drake, Anthony, Robert, Dual Parallel, Anonymous, Michael, Andrea, Derek, Jesse, Susan, Eric, Tech Freak, Keith, Malcolm, Peter, Timor, Peter, Plasmonic Grid, Christopher, Rosalie, Richard, Matt, Greg, WebLife, Evan, David, Brian, Austin, Brian, Jonathan, Adam, Host Mojo, Mainframe, Mark, Jonathan, Trevor, Brandon, Helgon, Art, Darmude, Brandon, Justin, Matthew, Lars, Eric, Anonymous, I think there was another Justin in there, Jason, and new subscribers for the month of, I guess it would be February, would have been Kevin, Steve, Philip, Steve, Charles, Matt, Brandon, Kevin, and Mark. Thank you so much for those of you who subscribe and donate to this program, because you know what, really, realistically, I think Rant Media may just well be the last stand for freedom in North America. If you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab. Special thanks to some hard net runners also doing their part to fight the tyranny: Astrofix, Sylvanus, PolySci, Ricky Rocket, Foulware, Psychofish, No Delete, Axiom Phantom. Did I say that right? Yeah, Axiom Phantom. Wyandi. Sorry if I'm fucking that up. Bonsai Poppy, Valakai, Guardian Vampire Malcavity? Ooh, Guardian Vampire Malcavity. Valerian and NATO. No digital baptisms this week, but if you would like a digital baptism, please email me. And I will sort that out. This Saturday, if you're in the Vancouver area, I will be down at the Ethical Addictions Art Show. I'll be down there probably about 7 o'clock or something like that. There's Patty Murdoch's good friend of mine, putting on an art show down there. May wish to check that out. And I want to give a special shout-out to all the other people who send in stories. I can't name everyone. I try to name the stories I use. Quite often, it's the first person sends me the story. I give them the credit. But if you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, you can click on my link on the LiveJournal and pick up a copy of Zen Boy versus Monster One. Very cool kind of drums and beat background. So until tomorrow, everyone, that's what server said. End of line.